mask or a shield or something, we need to make sure we vote, or we need to make sure that we bring our ballot to the post office early enough. So we don't wait until the last minute and people can use that as an excuse to invalidate our votes.
Oh, we're going to leave it right there for now, but I can't tell you how grateful I am that you could come and be with us and tell us about what's going on with the United Farm Workers. We are always grateful. We've had a very long dialogue that goes back to Dolores, and we're always proud to hear from what's hear about the struggle of the farm workers and sort of give our microphones over whenever possible. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Dennis. I really appreciate your support for the work that we do.
You're so welcome. And we're out of time now. Bye-bye.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closures of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Program Advisory Committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hello, welcome to the KBOO Bike Show. I'm your host, Tori Bortman. This month, we set out to see if we could find stories of how bikes were being used in protests to support racial justice and the Black Lives Matter movement. What we found, however, was a much more interesting story, one that involved a different group creating community, Black Girls Do Bike. It was founded in 2013 and has been organizing around Black women biking ever since. This past June, the Portland chapter of Black Girls Do Bike decided to throw a socially distanced community fun ride that, due to media attention and the participants who showed up, went entirely differently than planned. This month's guest, Kiana McQuarters, is the co-leader of the Portland chapter of Black Girls Do Bike and believes that the simple act of riding a bike can be a catalyst for wonderful, life-changing experiences. Today, we'll explore the story of how she's helped shape the lives of the women she's motivated to ride, and how one intended fun ride changed everything.
Every month, The Bike Show brings you news and views of the cycling world on your community-supported radio station, KBOO Portland. Before we get today's show started, I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give. While we aren't in the station to take your calls, you can show your support by giving online. Support KBOO now, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 until September 20th, thanks to the Ronnie S. LaCroix Fund for the Oregon Community Foundation. We love being a part of the KBOO community, and we wouldn't be able to bring you important stories from underrepresented viewpoints, because that's what community radio is all about. Join us now by going to kboo.fm/give, or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Become a member, join our community, and help us keep making great programming like today's show.
Kianda McQuarters, welcome to the Bike Show.
Thank you.
So for our listeners who aren't familiar, can you tell us a little bit more? How would you describe Black Girls Do Bike?
So, okay, this is what I would say. Black Girls Do Bike is, first of all, it is a national organization. So Black Girls Do Bike, we have chapters all over the United States as well as in some parts of the Caribbean. And Black Girls Do Bike was started by a young lady named Monica Garrison. And what she did was she just wanted to create a community, if you will, where Black women would be encouraged to bike. And so what happened, she started this movement and it just blew up. I mean, literally, it just took off and other people wanted to join in, and that's how we got chapters just all over the country. And so Black Girls Do Bike is a community centered around biking, and the goal is to get more women in the cycling community, more women biking. But there is a center, if you will, or a focus on Black women as well as other women of color. With that being said, Black Girls Do Bike is open to everyone. So it is open to everyone, but we do center or focus on Black women and women of color.
And do you know how or why the Black Girls Do Bike Portland chapter started?
I'm not even sure. What happened was how I found it. So I had heard a little bit about Black Girls Do Bike while I was still in Chicago, but it was just around the time that we were preparing to relocate. And so one of the things that at that time, you know, Portland is known for having a big biking community. And so when we relocated, I thought, okay, I'll look up Black Girls Do Bike. Because we, you know, you have this idea of what life is going to be like when you move to a new place, right? Because you read all about it. And so we read all about how Portland was such a big biking community. And so we relocated to Portland. We all got new bikes. Me, my husband, all four kids, everybody got new bikes. So we're like, yes, we're going to go biking. And we had done some biking in Chicago anyway. But it was like, oh, this will be even better. And so with
I want to stop you there. For our listeners who don't know or who have never been to Chicago, Chicago actually has some pretty good bike infrastructure in the last few years.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not bad at all. Portland is not the end-all be-all. Portland, or Chicago, has some really nice bike infrastructure.
Yes, and right around the time that we were there, Chicago was building even more a bike infrastructure. And even in the community that we were living in, I mean, we were like, yes. And so that's really how. So we had done some biking in Chicago, and then we thought, oh, we'll just continue this when we get to Portland. And it was out of that that I then began to look up the Portland chapter of Black Girls Do Bike. And when I found them on Facebook, the chapter was dormant. It just was no activity. And I would post and ask about rides. And I think at that time, the Shiro, the leader at that time, was just ready to move into a different phase.
And can I pause you for a moment? For our listeners who just heard that word for the first time, Shiro, can you tell us within the Black Girls Do Bike community what a Shiro is?
Yeah, so a Shiro is the chapter leader. So every city has a chapter, and within that chapter, there's a leader, and she's normally called the Shiro. Yeah, so I think the Shiro of the Portland chapter was just ready for something else, and so it was just dormant, and so actually, this is a funny story. I had been biking with, I didn't even know Portland that well, right? So I had been biking with another group, and it was out of that I got the courage, if you will, to start leading rides. Before Black Girls Do Bike Portland, I had never led a bike ride in my life. Let me just say that.
But when you rode in Chicago and even here, were you riding in group rides or were you just going for rides with your family?
No, just my family. Yes, it was just my family. So it would be me and my husband. We had at that time, our two youngest were really, really little. So we had a trailer for them. And then our two oldest were on bikes. So we kind of go like that.
To clarify again for my listeners, it's not just family biking. Family biking is a different kind of biking, and there's no just to it. Biking with your family
is
awesome and amazing, but different than group riding. That was all I meant.
So different than group riding. Yes, very different, but still, you're right. Still very, very amazing. I mean, it's an amazing journey. And I think especially teaching, like, your children, that's really, to just backtrack just a little bit, that's really how we got into biking as a family. So I grew up biking. It was biking that expanded my world, like, as a kid. So I remember my first drop bar, 10 speed, and it opened up at this
and
time.
Coming from Chicago, it was probably a Schwinn.
It was. Powder blue
that's great.
With drop bars with white tape. Yes, it was. Yes. And it was just amazing. And it just opened my world, right? It enabled me to get from my house to my grandma's house just in time for peach cobbler and ice cream, right? It just did so many things. And so growing up, spending hours on my bike was just a part of my way of living. It's how I grew up. My cousins, it's all of us, it's how we grew up. Well, fast forward, and sometimes as you get into adulting, you kind of get pulled away, if you will, from those things. And so,
well, you're moving and you don't have as much room for bikes.
It's all those things. And so we had relocated back to Chicago, and we were raising our children in the city and all of these things, and I realized that my oldest daughter at this time, she was 7, and she could not ride a bike. I was like, parent fail, what are you doing?
Not a fail, you just got busy. Parenting is hard.
I know. I'm sorry, I wasn't as kind to me as you're being so kind to me. Grew up biking, you know better. So it was in that moment. We went to the bike shop, we got her a bike, and I remember running down the street teaching her how to ride.
And did she get it pretty quickly?
No. It took a little bit. She might have been 6 because it was the summer that she was turning 7, so she was about 6 years old. And it took a few tries. Mom, don't let me go, because also I was not a training wheels type of girl. I don't believe in. It's a whole Chicago thing, I think. And so I was like, you can do this. But she was like, don't let me go, though. And I'm holding on. And then I let her go, and I'm holding on. So we did that whole thing just for like a few days. And then one day I took her to the park, and she just started riding. So I'll say it took maybe 2 weeks.
Even though you weren't doing group rides, you were being a shero at that moment right there. Getting your daughter on a bike, realizing that you were going to be a good role model and have her with you on rides, like that's a shero right there.
Absolutely. That is where I got back into what for me was really important in my childhood. And I wanted to share that with my children. I think it was just so important. One of the things that I do try is I try to share the things that were so important to me. And biking really was a big part of my childhood. And I wanted to give my kids that. And so it was getting her in. And then I got a bike. My husband got a bike. And then by this time, my son is like 3, and we got him a balanced bike. And it was that was it. And from there is where we started. That's really where I got back into biking. And so when we got to Portland, we just continued with that. By that time, we had 4 children, and the little one was on a balance bike. Everyone else was riding independently, and we would just ride and you know, find trails. Portland is so full of trails and paths, and we would just go, mm-hmm. and we put this big bike rack on our beautiful minivan. Yeah, that's my life. And and we just went from there. And so it was wanting to. So with that, I fell in love with biking all over again. I became 8 years old all over again. And I just wanted to ride more. I wanted to expand my knowledge. And I also learned that biking was a good way to learn the city. And so I started biking originally on Monday nights with this all-female identifying trans. It was a Monday night group ride called Biking Betty. And that group was so amazing in that the leader she was born and raised in Portland, and she knew all the routes. And so I did that for about a year. And then I took over Black Girls Who Bike. And I'll tell you what I would do. I would ride Monday night with Biking Betty, mm-hmm. and I would take that route, and I would do it on Wednesdays. Black Girls Bike.
You're like, the route's always going to be a surprise. I'll let you know the day before.
And that is how I became a ride leader. I really have to thank Allie, who just has the best routes. And I would record them through the bike app on my phone. And then I would take Black Girls Who Bike on those same routes on Wednesday nights. Or we would go. Yeah.
So it sounds like you had a really great relationship with Biking Betty's. Why did you feel like it was important to also do Black Girls Do Bike?
Well, this is the thing.
This is a coordinated monthly test of the emergency alert system through broadcast stations in the greater Portland-Vancouver area, including Clackamas, Columbia, Multnomah, and Washington counties in Oregon, and Clark County in Washington. With the cooperation of public safety broadcasters and cable operators, this system informs you of events that pose an immediate threat to your life, health, or property. If this had been an actual emergency, official information would have followed the alert tone. This test was originated by Clark Regional Emergency Services Agency in Vancouver, Washington. This concludes this test message.
Encouraging, I kept asking people to ride. I kept scheduling rides. And then fast forward, and another year goes by, and it just kind of begins to take off. And so after a while, we started doing two rides. I would do an advanced ride. Mm-hmm. So I would do a short ride on like Wednesday nights. I would do a short ride. And then Saturday mornings, I would do a longer ride. Yeah. And so, it just began to kind of take off from there. And
so how many women, you said at the first, it could just be you or one other person. How many women mm-hmm. on average were coming to the rides once it started kind of, actually the community started to build itself, sort of?
So once the community started to build, I could get anywhere from 4 to 8.
That's great.
Or sometimes, you know, I don't know, every now and then we get 10 or people.
As someone who's been on a bike team and we try to have group rides, you know, that's about, there was 30 women on my team, but 4 to 8 is what, you were like, 8 was like a big day.
8 is a big day, right? Okay, there you go, right? You know this, Eight is if you get 8 women, it's a big, big deal.
Because everybody's schedules are different. People are parents. There's a lot going on. People are traveling or out of town or whatever. Yeah.
And I think also, too, just giving people permission to get on their bike. Yeah. Creating a space where women of color, where Black women felt like biking is for them. Yeah. Like here's a space. Get on your
bike. And did that happen by, I mean, Black Girls Do Bike as a national organization definitely gives you some support, but was there any specific ways, you said you talked to people, did you just reach out to your friends, your church? How are you welcoming people, and what do you think kind of made, you said from the first year to the second year there's quite a transition. What do you think made that transition?
I think social media. That's really what I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I would just post. Like, if you go back and you look, I would do videos. I would say, are you thinking about, like, are you scared? Do you, because people would say, oh, I only ride on paths, or I've never, you know, rode on a street, or I haven't been on a bike in 20 years. Just all these things that I would get, like if someone would send me a private message saying anything like that, then I would do my best, because I figure if one person is saying it, it's the issue for more than that.
Yes.
So I would like make a video and say, oh, we just had a great ride, blah, 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 blah. Or if we went on a ride and four people showed up, if someone was willing to go live in our Facebook group and say, oh, it was great, then I would take that or do a record. Like, whatever I could do. And I would just post on my Facebook page, and I would also post in our Facebook group. And I really just became just a little obnoxious about it, if you want to I mean, for lack of a better word, I would just post and write, post and write, post. And it was out of that. And I would even write, like, if I showed up for a ride and I was the only one, that's okay. I was still going to ride, because I wanted to ride anyway, and it would be an opportunity for me to practice, you know, getting the route down or whatever it may be, you know, whatever the case. And so I would still ride, and then I would usually post or something like that. And yeah, that's really how the community began to grow. And I think also too, for a while, you know, I think the name was a little misleading for some people in the Portland community. So of course the name is Black Girls Do Bike, and so I would have people say, is it for only Black women, or I'm really interested and can I be a part? And I would say absolutely, and so just kind of reiterating the mission of the national chapter, you know, and just kind of saying this is who we are. We are open to all women, and all women, all who identify as female, you're welcome in this space. We just center or focus on getting Black women and women of color. And part of that is just simply because I think there are just so many barriers that can keep Black women and women of color from biking.
And I want to hear more about that, but for anyone who just tuned in, you are listening to the KBOO Bike Show. We're here with Kiana McQuarters. She is one of the sheroes of the Portland chapter of Black Girls Do Bike. So as you were just saying, yeah, it's hard for most people to get on a bike, but it's especially difficult. There's some other barriers for people of color, especially Black women.
Yeah.
What have you seen as those barriers?
Oh my goodness. I think the biggest one for a while has been just having access to a bike. Just like really having that access. I think one of the things that we see now, you know, you see more cities getting programs like what we have here in Portland, you know, Bike Town or
the Bike Share program.
Yeah, the bike share programs. But if you think about even before all of that, or just even having access to that can be difficult. And so one of the barriers has been just having access to bikes. The other, I think, has been just the knowing that this is for me. And I would often get the question, I don't have the right bike. What type of bike do I need? So I would, like, if you go back to those early days of Black Girls Do Bike, I would often do a video or a post, and I would just remind people, the right bike is whatever bike you have. That is the right bike. I think sometimes we have this picture in our mind, and it's like, well, mine doesn't look like that, so this must not be for me.
Right.
And so it's just reiterating that you have the right bike. I don't care if it's a cruiser. I don't care if it's a hybrid. I don't care if it's a road bike. I don't care if it's a touring bike. I don't care if you got it from a bike shop, if you got it from Walmart, if you got it from Target. Whatever bike you are riding, let's just ride. So I think that was a barrier. Also, sometimes people think, well, what if I'm too slow? I haven't been on a bike in years. And so those would also be things that I would address either in a post or a video. And so I would always reiterate that the slowest person sets the pace, that these are no drop rides, which means no one is left behind. No, and when we say no one, we mean no one. If you are on a no drop ride, you're not getting there. I don't care if the average speed is 5 miles, that's okay. That's great. That's exactly where we are. So we don't drop you. We don't leave you. We stick with you. We ride together. We leave together. We return together. And so I think reiterating all of that is just so important. Yeah, it's so important. And then also just stepping away from the ideology that biking is something you do as a kid, but it's not something you do as an adult. And that when you get a license, you trade in your bike for a car. You know, just all of these things. And, you know, yeah, so just kind of breaking down some of the stereotypes around biking, especially biking in communities of color.
Do you feel like some of the stereotypes were about body image, or like either saying I'm too big or I'm not athletic enough?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I've had people say that as well. Like, I'm not the right size, or and it's like, no. So yeah, so I think coming against like all of that, helping people find, can I ride with this seat, right? I'm like, if you don't like your seat, trade your seat out. Let's get you a comfortable seat. You know?
You can, well, people don't know that the seat isn't permanently part of their bike. And that's
right,
why,
right.
That is exactly, in an earlier conversation with you, you said you're a guide. In many aspects of your life, you're a guide. And this is,
yes,
part of the guiding is, hey, if it doesn't fit and your butt hurts, well, there's ways we can help that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, but also creating a space where people felt comfortable having that conversation.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Creating a space where people felt comfortable saying, you know, am I too big to bike? And it's like, no, who told you that? Or, you know, do I have the right bike? Is my seat okay? Can I change? And so when you create a space where people feel safe to ask those type of questions, then you are on the road to building a beautiful cycling community. And yeah, that's what I think has happened with Black Girls Who Bike Portland chapter over the years. I think we have created a space where people feel safe. And so if you look in our chapter now, oh my God, it's full of everybody. I think we have, you know, multiple age groups. We have, yeah, it's just,
wow,
it's all the things. It's all the things. And we have more and more people riding. The sad part is, so right now, you know, we're in COVID, and COVID has on one hand been a blessing to the bike industry, I think, to biking communities.
For
in
sure.
That more people, yeah, like more people are biking. But on another hand, it's been kind of a curse because you can't really do group rides, or you can't, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, yeah.
And it's, yeah, we're all learning new ways to live and create community, as you said.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, because that's a huge part of what Black Girls Do Bike does. And what you do as a Shiro. So for those of you who are just tuning in, you are listening to the KBOO Bike Show. I am here with Kianda McQuarters. She is the Shiro of the Portland chapter of Black Girls Do Bike, and we're learning a lot about that organization and their community. Please don't touch that dial. We will be here in the next half hour continuing our conversation with Kianda McQuarters and getting a little bit into some of their community rides and things that have happened in the last few months as our fair city has been in a bit of upheaval. So don't touch that dial. You are listening to the KBOO Bike Show on KBOO Portland. We're here this month with Kianda McQuarters, Shiro of the Portland chapter of Black Girls Do Bike.
The Bike Show brings you news and views of the cycling world every month on your community-supported radio station, KBOO Portland. Cycling listeners, you're a part of this community and keep us strong. You can donate today at kboo.fm/give. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Support KBOO now, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 until September 20th, thanks to the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. We love being a part of the KBOO community, and that community includes you. Join us by going to kboo.fm/give, or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Become a member, join our community, and help us keep making great programming like today's show.
Before the break, we were talking with Kianda about how difficult it is to continue doing support and group rides during COVID. So Kianda McQuarters, what has some of your solutions been to kind of trying to keep the community that you've created? Because how big is your community right now?
Oh my goodness. I think, we have, so one of the ways that we stay in touch is we have a Facebook group. And so that's our biggest line of communication. And I think in that group right now, there are definitely well over 400 people in the group. Now, of course, some of those are just people who want to just look around and just kind of be.
Or support.
Or just kind of, you know, I think sometimes people just kind of like to fill it out and link. And whether you do that for a week, 6 months, a year, 2 years, you know, I think people just have to find their rhythm, right? They'll find their space. But yeah, we have well over 400 people in that group. And so one of the things that we're trying to do now is just really encourage people to just keep riding. So keep riding, keep posting about rides. So we try to just keep it going. We try to post about, you know, different things happening in the biking community. If there's an article, if there's, you know, tips on safety, all of those things. If you go on a ride, post in the group. And so if you and someone else, so while we're not, so Black Girls Do Bike National Organization has said, we are asking everyone to kind of pull back from leading group rides. Kind of look at your situation, look at your, where you live, and keep, see if, you know, do what you can do safely. And so with that, sometimes someone will say, I'm riding today, you know, if anybody's available and want to ride with me. So kind of like that. So it's almost like before I was leading all the rides, right? Now it's like one or two people may get together, or two or three people may get together, and they may just, you know, go on a ride together, and then they'll post it in the group, which I love. I also
see
people post.
That's so interesting, because you talked in the beginning of the hour about how you found another group, the Biking Betties, and just being a part of that group and understanding group rides kind of gave you the impetus and the fearlessness to become a Shiro and start leading the Black Girls Do Bike rides. And so COVID's awful, but a tiny silver lining of COVID is it's helping other women kind of become mini leaders, mini Shiros within your group.
Absolutely. Yes. And so you'll see that. Like, someone will post, just the other day, someone said, oh, I'm biking tonight, I'm biking Wednesday at 6. If you want to join me, I'll be leaving, you know, like from OMSI or something. And then someone said, oh, yeah. It's like, like three of them ended up going together and just going on a ride. So we have that. And I do have a solid group that I bike with every week. We've been biking together all this time, and we feel like we can continue to do that safely. And so it's four of us usually, sometimes five. Mm-hmm. And so we have that. And so, yeah, it's just encouraging people to bike. And so what also I've noticed, some people post in the group, more people are biking with their families. Yeah, more and more people are just biking. And you're right. It's like it's gone from having one particular shiro, if you will, lead all the rides, to people coming together, being in community, and, yeah, really being motivated to just keep riding.
And what joy is that, that, you know, you started this chapter, or kind of reignited this chapter of Black Girls Do Bike, so that people would feel safe and have a community. And now they've got this community and they're creating these further micro communities and creating safe spaces for other people. And
yeah,
it's just paying it forward. And that's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's really powerful. It's really nice to see people. One of the things that being in the midst of this, you know, slowing down, if you will, it's nice to see people kind of moving in that, like slowing down, reconnecting, and coming back to biking. Yeah, we've had people who are like, I finally got a bike. I'm going on a ride. You know, it's just,
yay!
Yeah, it's been really amazing. I know. Yeah. It's been really nice to watch the community grow and take off and develop into all that it's becoming.
Yeah, it's kind of like you planted a seedling, and it took a couple, as trees take a few years to get mature enough to bear some fruit, and those were your community rides, and now the fruit has fallen, and now there's a bunch of new trees coming up. It's
it's so
great. Yeah, you're making your own forest out there. So speaking of community rides, on June 10th, you hosted a community ride with fellow SheRail Nicole Watson that was very widely attended and covered by multiple media outlets. When you organized this ride, what was your hope? It kind of ended up being in the media touted as a protest ride, but what was your hope that it would look like, and what was your intention for the ride when you set it up?
So let me say this. So Nicole came to Black Girls Do Bike a few years ago, and so Nicole and I became friends. We actually met at the skating rink, but that's a whole other thing. And when we
all
became friends,
girlfriends do.
Right, right, exactly. And so she would see my post on Facebook, because I was always riding. I would be riding, and she was like, I'm going to ride with you. And I was like, come on, ride with me. So she was like, I need a bike. I need you to take me to get a bike. Okay, so this was a couple years ago. Myself and another young lady, we went, and Nick got a bike. Well, we call her Nikki. And so Nikki got a bike, and she just took off. Like that first year, she just was riding. We were all riding. Nikki was climbing Mount Tabor, just all these things. And we were just riding with Black Girls Do Bike. We were just riding. And so she did that about a year. And then she took a year off because, you know, work and life and all of that. And then recently she came back and she was like, okay, I need to start riding again. And so as we were riding again, she realized that she wanted to upgrade her bike. And so I was like, great, let's do it. And so we talked about what she wanted. And so I did something similar. So I rode a hybrid for many years. I love my bike. I still love my bike. My son has kind of taken it over, but that's another subject. But I did not willingly give him that, and let the record show that that is still my bike. I'm putting it on record. And so
the record is duly noted.
Yes, yes. And so, but last year, my husband, as a gift to me for a milestone that we had accomplished in our family, he gifted me a beautiful road bike, and I love it. And so of course now I'm riding more and more and more and more. And so Nicole, she was like, okay, I think I want a road bike. And I was like, great. So we went, and it was at that day. I called the bike shop, and I said, listen, I have this friend, we want a bike, this is what we're looking for. And I, you know how you just get in touch with the right person? It was so perfect. It was so aligned. So I got in touch with the right person. By the time I got to the bike shop, Nicole was already there. She was about to test ride this bike. It was just so funny. And so she got on it, and you know how when you get your bike, right? You can test ride all the bikes, but when you get on your bike, you feel it. And she was like, oh, I think I feel it. And I was like, yeah, that's you. So it was that, It was during that whole time. And so she, now we're supposed to be looking, but she found her bike, first ride, everything. It was like, boom. And it was just perfect. And so as they were getting the bike and putting pedals on and all of this, we began to talk, and she was like, you know, we need to do a community ride. So many people have been asking about biking. And I was like, you're right, we need to do it. I said, well, now you got this new, beautiful, sweet bike. I think she named it Sweetness or Flash. I don't know. I can't remember right now. And so she was like, okay. So we said, okay. She said, so what day works for you? So we picked the day that worked, and we decided we were going to do a community ride. And the whole purpose of that ride was to create a space for people to simply be. There was so much going on in the world. We had the murder of George Floyd. We were in the midst of a pandemic. People were on stay-at-home orders. At that particular time, all bike rides were canceled. If you're in the bike community in Portland, you know June is Pedalpalooza.
Yes.
So all of the Pedalpalooza rides were canceled. Everything was canceled. And so me and my friend, we decide in the midst of all of this, we're going to do a community ride. And so we literally had hoped, thought maybe 20 people may come. Maybe. We thought, okay, if we get 20 people to show up, that would be a hit. Right.
Okay. So
yeah.
So you maybe hadn't taken into account some things, but like, continue with your story.
Yeah. Oh, we hadn't taken into account a lot of things, a lot of which I just mentioned. So we thought, okay, we would get 20 people. And so Nicole said, okay, I'll tell you what, I will make a flyer. I said, okay, you make the flyer, because we all have our strengths.
Well, the flyer Nicole made really emphasized this is a ride for people to have fun.
Yes, that's what it was. It was literally, okay, so it was.
That's really mostly what it said.
And because that's what it was. It was a ride.
It was like where, when, and then the what was a fun ride.
Yes, and that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. And so she made the flyer, and she said, okay, Key. So she's Nick, I'm Key. She said, okay, Key, I'll make the flyer, you make the route. Perfect. Those are our strengths. We got this. So Nicole made the flyer. I made the route. We started posting about it on social media. And the rest... I guess
and for our listeners who don't know, continue with this. Tell our listeners what happened.
So what happened? I'm still in a whirlwind, and this was weeks ago. what ended up? So we set this route, we set the day, we picked the time, and we decided we would meet at Irving Park, and we thought maybe 20 people would show. A lot of other outlets got a hold of it. I think Bike Portland, everybody started posting about it on social media. And we had 20 people plus another 1,500. I think, so some people say it was 1,500. Some people say it was 2,000. I really don't know how many people.
It was
more
than 20.
Yes, it was. It was way more than 20. And to say that we were like shocked, that's the understatement. Yeah, and so even when Nicole, I remember when she got to Irving Park, because I got there a little before she did. And I remember when she got there, she was like, she looked at me and she said, what has happened? Like,
you are, for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to the KB Bike Show. We're here with Kianda McQuarters, CRO of the Portland chapter of Black Girls Do Bike, and she's kind of giving us a recap of their June 10th community ride, which they had expected about 20 people to show up to and ended up with 1,500 to 2,000. Because they weren't counting, because their jaws were dropped open the whole time.
Yeah.
Smiling. There was a lot of, I saw photos from the ride. It was lots of smiles as well.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It seems like fun was definitely had, so the goal, that goal was accomplished.
Yes, that goal was accomplished, and we had a lot of people join in with us to make that happen. And so we had Bike Town, who, because it's so funny, as people began, so we did an event, we posted as an event, and as people kind of began to register through the event on Facebook, we were like, oh, maybe we need to get some more bikes. And so, so we had, okay, because some people were like, I want to come, but I don't have a bike. We were like, okay, great, we can work that out. So we began to reach out. I posted, and actually, I made a Facebook post, and I said, okay, I need some of the bike shares. Who can help me? And a really beautiful friend, who I'm sure you know, Leah Benson, who is the former owner of Brad's Bikes. She was like, we can make this happen. And she tagged someone from Bike Town, and they reached out to me and gave us Bike Town bikes. And then we have Portland bike tours. And really, people came together to make it happen. And so then we had people, we posted in our Facebook event, if you don't have a bike, put your name here and we'll get you a bike. And so we were just able to do that. And because we really wanted the community to come out and ride. We felt like the community needed something fun, something light. We really set out for it to be an opportunity to just simply be. And it's like you said, if you go back to the flyer, it said, come, ride, have fun, because that's really what we wanted it to be. And bring your we wanted it to be family friendly. I brought my family, my husband and my four kids. If you look at some of the pictures, they're all going through some of those. And we wanted it to be a place where people could come and, just be.
Well, and I think from kind of how the media portrayed it later, it was kind of said as like it was a protest ride, and that's why so many people showed up. But I don't, from what you're describing, it doesn't sound like a protest ride, but it does sound like people showed up to support.
Yes. This is what happened. It was not created or marketed originally as a protest ride. Let me just say that. That was not our intent. That wasn't even on our radar. But what happened, it became to different people whatever they needed. That was one thing. And the other thing was the media put a spin on it. That's just the truth. And
yeah,
I think the media put a spin on it. I think with that spin, I think people got pulled into it, if you will, and it turned into a protest ride, if that's what you wanted it to be. I'm going to be honest, I did not want it to be a protest ride. And so for me, I just did everything I could to reject that narrative. Now, later, Nicole and I, we had a discussion afterwards, like if we ever did this again, what would we do? And I said this to Nicole, and so I'll say it here because I've already said it to her. For me, it would have been different if we together had said, let's turn this into a protest ride. I think one of the things that I did not want to relinquish control of was that narrative. And I think it got pulled away. And so for me, the narrative of a protest ride would have been okay if that would have been what we had decided on. But it wasn't.
But I'm going to say this, and you can either agree with me or not, but I think this is a lot. This is a huge complaint about people of color, from people of color, is many times their narratives, their stories, their intentions get twisted or changed by what either the media or whoever shows up and takes the power, decides that, no, it's going to be this.
Yeah, and that's what I think happened. And I think it happened. But I also think, let me just say this. Of course, the atmosphere was so charged, right? Like we can't ignore that. Like the atmosphere was charged for a protest, right? People came with signs, even though we didn't. because, like, if you look on our flyer, I don't think it said anything about
nothing. It said nothing. I've looked at the page before I interviewed you. It says nothing about, all it said is, this is exactly what you're describing, a chance to get out, be together, be safe in a community, and the number one goal is to have fun.
That was the number one goal. But I will say this. I think it evolved into everything that people needed it to be. At least that's what I hope. I hope that if you needed it to be a place of fun, that you found that. That if you needed it to be a place where you could protest, if you needed to have a protest in your life, then you found that. If you needed it to be a place where you found community, where you could just be, then I hope that you found that. And that's what I had to let go, because for a while, I just have to be honest, I was, I don't know the word that I want, but I was just like, no, it's not. And I was like, Kendra, don't feel like you have to fight that. Just let it be. It was for me what I needed it to be. And I hope it was for everyone else, whatever they needed it to be. And that's how I have to let that go.
Well, but as a side effect of that, do you think that there's more people of color, or even just black people, that showed up to that ride and maybe found a safer space that they didn't know existed?
Absolutely. Now, let me say this. I have been leading the Portland chapter of Black Girls Do Bikes now for four and a half years or so. I have been biking in Portland since I got here 2 weeks, right? Which was 6 years ago. I have never, ever, ever, ever in all my days seen that many black people and people of color on a bike, in a community ride, in a group ride, in the streets of Portland. I have not seen it. Now I have since witnessed it again, because again, another thing happened. So there is also this ride called the Juneteenth ride.
Right.
I have attended that ride pretty much every year since its first or second ride. Normally, it's maybe 20 of us. Maybe. Like, if you go through the previous photos, like, it's maybe 20. This year, it was like 1,200 people. Like, and that ride was only for people of color. So, literally, you had like 1,000 black and brown people on bikes.
That's amazing.
On the streets of Portland. Isn't that amazing?
That makes my heart sing.
Right, and the organizer of that ride organized it for the same. She was adamant that this is not a protest ride. This is an opportunity to bring awareness to Juneteenth. This is an opportunity to take up space. This is an opportunity to just simply be. Because I will say this, I don't know that we get to do that enough in our community.
I would say no.
Yeah, I would say no. Exactly.
Also, there hasn't been enough ever time where people felt safe enough that many people would feel safe coming out.
Yes.
You know, that they would be inspired and felt safe enough to, or even beyond their space safety, feel like it was important to come out, be empowered
and
to come out,
feel supported, be empowered. Yes, all of those things. Yes. So again. So what do we attribute that to? All the things that are going. So it's kind of been that whole silver lining in the midst of all of the things. It's like the rainbow that comes after the storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're seeing. And so, yeah. So it started as a community ride, and it just, I mean, the Oregonian got a hold of it, and this got a hold of it, and that got a hold, and it just went, that thing went wild.
Well, I hope your Facebook page has grown a little bit since then.
Just a little bit, right? Oh my goodness, when I tell you, it really has. And so, it's so funny, our Facebook page has definitely grown, our community has grown by so much. And I did, I'm trying to think, a few weeks ago, shortly after, maybe like around June 16th or so, I did a group ride. I did do a group ride. And it was to go downtown and see the Black Lives Matter, I Can't Breathe mural and all the, mm-hmm. the artwork that's on the Apple Building and just all downtown. And I promise you, we had like 20 people. I was like, for real? It was like all these people showed up. I was like, okay. But again, people want community. People want to ride. People want to be in space with others, because we are often, we're seeing where you don't get to do that as much, right? So
yes,
what I'm
absolutely.
Finding now is whenever I post, oh, I'll lead a ride, or if I do an event, people definitely show up. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left of the show. But for our listeners who would like to get involved or support your organization, how can they find you and how can they support you?
Yes. So please, so our main mode of communication right now is our Facebook page. So if you have Facebook, if you look up Black Girls Do Bike Portland, you can find us there. You can find all the information. If you do not have Facebook, I have people who reach out via email and they give me their contact information. I've created an email list. And so my email address is mrfmc5@gmail.com.
And so can you repeat that one more time? Because I got MR, and what was that next letter?
Yes. So it's R as in Robert, S as in Sam, M as in Mary, C as in Cat, it's the number 2, the number 5, and then S as in Sam @gmail.com. So if you look
Excellent.
At it.
And for our listeners, we'll have that on the KBOO website as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my last name is McQuarters, so it's just simply Mrs. McQuarters if you look at it.
Ah.
Can you see it?
I can.
You can see it, yeah.
Well, it has been a joy, Kianda McQuarters, to have you on the show. Thank you so much for spending so much time with us and telling us more about Black Girls Do Bike. Seems like an amazing organization, and I'm so glad you were there to kind of be the flower to help the community blossom during this super stressful time.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and thanks for, yeah, letting me talk about something that I love and can talk about for forever.
Well, maybe we can have you, and hopefully Nicole, at some point when she's not as busy, but considering she's just starting her first year as being a principal of an elementary school, there, I don't see that getting calmer anytime soon. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the KBOO Bike Show, broadcast from the KBOO studios in Portland, Oregon, on the first Wednesday of every month.
You are the community that helps us bring stories like this, elevating lesser-known voices and bringing new perspectives to the forefront. I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give to become a member of KBOO or increase your membership to help us keep making great radio programming like the interview you just heard. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online to kboo.fm/give, or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland.
Thank you again to Kianda McQuarters of Black Girls Do Bike for joining us today. We'll have links to the Black Girls Do Bike Facebook page and Kianda McQuarters' contact info on our Facebook page. Podcasts are on iTunes, and all past episodes are generously archived at bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. The Bike Show is produced by myself, April Streeter, and Alon Robb. We'd like to thank our web host, Chris Smith, as well as our editor, Josh Hetrick. If you have comments, questions, or show ideas, The Bike Show would love to hear from you. You can contact us on Facebook, at our Twitter handle, @KBOO Bike Show, or email us through the KBOO website. We'll be back next month with more news and views from the bike world. Until then, make it a great day and keep riding your bike.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Esta es una sección especial en español en respuesta a la emergencia.